I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
Falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said
how
you were
predictable.
He said you were racist.
He said he
okay.
You are very racist.
He said he
and you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light.
He said
who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What's your
what about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, September 9, 2021, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. There are lots of peculiar little coincidences these days. Things that, I don't know. Pattern recognition makes you scratch your head. One seemingly innocuous oddity. I've been saying, a lot of people have been saying COVID-1984 from pretty much the beginning. I've been saying COVID-1939 because of the implications, which I think is worse than, you know, COVID-1984. So I thought it was interesting. I got a gas bill recently, and the due date is September 13, which, 9/13, it would be maybe more astonishing if it was 9/11 or it was Friday the 13th, which it is not, obviously. But the total amount due is $19.39, $19.39. I thought that was sort of, I don't know, just in keeping with the times. It's pretty obvious, I think, to anybody who's paying attention and honest, even remotely honest, that America is in severe retrograde. And that's very unfortunate. We can make different choices. And I wanted to sort of dive into this idea, without virtue, there can be no liberty. Talked about this before. You know, it all kind of starts there. It's interesting. All of these conflicts and this clash of civilizations that Samuel P. Huntington wrote about. And then, you know, that sort of based on the discussion with Fukuyama and the end of history and the last man, there's all this weird stuff going on. Elon Musk, you know, conversation about population collapse not too long ago, which seems to echo what I've said for years about my speculation regarding Romans 11:25. This idea that, you know, it's kind of an arc moment. Partial hardening of the heart of Israel has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. What is that? It sounds like an arc moment. And so Elon Musk said, everybody's, you know, the Malthusian contingent basically talks about population explosion all the time. What about the population collapse? And it really doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. Maybe that's why nobody's working. I've been thinking about that the last couple of days. If the COVID nonsense is real, obituary pages should be exploding in every publication of record. You know, it should be, the obituary section should be voluminous. With all these people dying. But I haven't seen that, have you? Haven't heard about that. But who knows? Maybe that's why people aren't working. It's either that or suddenly everyone's independently wealthy. Places have to close. Restaurants are closing for half the week. It's a very odd situation. So we have choices to make. And J. David Gowdy wrote a piece back in 2018, originally published in, actually it was 2011 originally, published over at the Washington Jefferson Madison Institute. And so a decade later, we can revisit that. And he wrote, to our founding fathers, it was obvious or self-evident, quote unquote, that self-government or a democratic republic could only be perpetuated by the self-governed. Reflecting these precepts, a contemporary German writer to the founders, J.W. von Goethe, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, stated, what is the best government? Which seems to echo Jefferson, you know, that government governs best, which governs least. What is the best government? That which teaches us to govern ourselves. And a later prominent 19th century minister, Henry Ward Beecher, simply said, there is no liberty to men who know not how to govern themselves. Self-governance, those words are not interchangeable, consists of self-regulation of our behavior, ambitions, and passions, which reminds me of what John Adams said on the matter. To this end, the founders fundamentally believed that the ability to govern ourselves rests with our individual and collective virtue or moral character. John Adams stated it this way, public virtue cannot exist in a nation without private virtue. And public virtue is the only foundation of republics. In this regard, the Revolutionary War was as much a battle against the corruption of the 18th century British high society as it was against financial oppression. While the founders and American colonists were very concerned with their civil liberty and economic freedom, demanding no taxation without representation, they were equally concerned with their religious liberty, particularly in preserving their rights of individual conscience and public morality. With respect to the vital need for virtue in order to establish and maintain a republic, the founders were in complete harmony. George Washington said, virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government, and human rights can only be assured among a virtuous people. Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. James Madison stated, "To suppose that any form of government will secure liberty or happiness without any virtue in the people is a chimerical idea." Jefferson wrote, "No government can continue good but under the control of the people, and their minds are to be informed by education what is right and what is wrong." This is didactic thinking, not dialectic, not shades or flavors of Kool-Aid, shades of gray, flavors of Kool-Aid. To be informed what is right and what is wrong, to be encouraged in habits of virtue, and to be deterred from those of vice. These are the inculcations necessary to render the people a sure basis for the structure and order of government. Samuel Adams said, "Neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. He, therefore, is the truest friend of the liberty of his country who tries most to promote its virtue." Patrick Henry, Virtue, Morality, and Religion. Patrick Henry stated, "A vitiated state of morals, a corrupted public conscience, is incompatible with freedom." And a lot of this sort of gets to how this happens, and there is, I would say, an ecclesiastical battle that correlates to the corruption of a society, but also we have choices to make. John Adams stated, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Is it me, or does it seem like there are folks who have sought to goad and sort of foment this kind of avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry in order to do that very thing, break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net?" It's 9/11, never forget time, and you see weird, bizarre programs, and I do mean programs, on even the sports channels, which, you know, most of which are some of the most hardcore, virulent propaganda streams that you'll find out there. But when I think of as a whale goes through a net, I think of Frank DeMartini talking about, you know, how the towers were engineered to withstand multiple plane impacts. I digress. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." So J. David Gowdy concludes, "Virtue ennobles individual character and lifts society as a whole. Virtuous principles eschew prejudice and discrimination, confirming that, quote-unquote, all men are created equal. Virtue encompasses characteristics of goodwill, patience, tolerance, kindness, respect, humility, gratitude, courage, honor, industry, honesty, chastity, and fidelity. These precepts serve as the cornerstones for both individual happiness and societal governance." I disagree with the use of the word governance. However, I think that this is about as straightforward as you can get in a very concise little treatise on the subject. And so when you have folks like Samuel P. Huntington writing about the clash of civilizations, and he wasn't the only one, this whole idea you know, of colliding folks together as a pretext to remaking world order. How does that end up looking? You know, you have to, essentially, you have to encourage and ultimately get people to surrender these concepts of virtue and morality, which encompasses characteristics, as Gowdy pointed out, of goodwill, patience, tolerance, kindness, respect, humility, gratitude, courage, honor, industry, honesty, chastity, and fidelity. Are we seeing those in retreat in America? Less goodwill, less patience, less tolerance, less kindness. We have been, you know, beaten over the head with the stick of tolerance, but it's repressive tolerance. It's the Marcusean version of tolerance, which is not tolerance, it's repressive tolerance. In other words, only what the establishment mouthpiece says is politically correct is tolerated. The rest is repressed and suppressed. So how does this happen? You know, Samuel P. Huntington's concept, Clash of Civilizations, and others, you know, his perhaps most notably, it's kind of like, you know, again, it's sort of like making a sword. You take different metals and you heat them up, you hammer them together, fold them over, rinse and repeat. Keep doing that until you have something that is so intertwined that it's essentially inseparable. And so it calls to mind this concept of, you know, becoming what you hate. That concept the Bible talks about, it's the age-old aphorism, Shakespeare in time, we hate that which we often fear. The Bible talks about, you know, those who fear a thing, it will come to reality. The wicked basically are captured by what they fear, essentially, and the righteous are not disappointed, is kind of how Proverbs puts it in a few different places. And so it's interesting. You start investigating this concept. I mentioned the New York Times article back in January, I believe, of this year. Speaking of this concept, you know, how do you resist this? By William Irwin Thompson, an article in the New York Times, July 25, 1971, titled "We Become What We Hate." It's an interesting article, and I thought I would just revisit that with this concept in mind. How do you get people to descend into viciousness and vice? Well, you overwhelm them with propaganda and messaging that tells them that this is normal and, you know, things are bad, so you should retreat to the pleasure principle. Again, for some reason these days, I'm reminded of Stephen Covey all the time and the choices that we have between stimulus and response. Even though the propaganda is overwhelming, maybe we can just pause for a moment and say, okay, here is the stimulus, but what will be my response? I will decide consciously and intentionally. So I will offer this piece of provocative reflection by William Irwin Thompson when we come back about becoming, you know, we become what we hate. It's a very provocative look at, you know, now that we can reflect over the last 50 years or so. Is it prophetic? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So this is a telling little piece with lots of little esoteric harbingers laced throughout. When it was originally published, this article by William Irwin Thompson, July 25th, 1971, New York Times, We Become What We Hate. It included a cartoon depiction of a frog, you know, dressed like a person, you know, I guess the lizard brain person, looking, staring at an image of a snake with its mouth open and, you know, hissing apparently. So we become what we hate. Title of the article, and it's interesting. From the opening of the article, thoughts can become inverted when they are reflected in actions, which sort of reminds me of a couple of things, you know. James Jesus Angleton, his Wilderness of Mirrors, and Larry sends me this. Where is that? The Pentagon Attack Papers by Barbara Honegger. Yes, that Barbara Honegger, who said, I was there when William Casey said, we will know our disinformation campaign is complete when everything the American people believe is false. But you know what? History tells us those things don't happen. Who's Barbara Honegger? She never existed. So thoughts can become inverted when they are reflected in actions. The doctor who thought he was inventing a pill to help women become pregnant was actually inventing the pill. The existential psychologist who created the third movement, quote unquote, as a counter to Freudian and behavioral psychology, thought they were creating new forms for the transformation of the self. Actually, they were creating new forms for the elimination of the self. Now your emotions belong to your corporation, and you must be free and open in T groups and management sensitivity training sessions. And when you are home alone with your wife, you can experience her through the Marriage Enrichment Program kit offered for $29.95 by the existential psychologist who work for Bell and Howell Human Development Corporation. If the learned psychologists did not know what they were doing in the third movement, we should expect that the creators of most social movements and revolutions have no idea of what the outcome of their thoughts will be. The California educators who thought that they were extending civilization and heightening democracy through universal higher education were actually creating youth culture. And even the hippies lack foresight. In the summer of 1967, they thought they were social radicals, but they were really only the R&D wing of American advertising at work on leisure and consumer behavior in a fully automated society. The hippies tried to move as far out as they could, but it only took Madison Avenue 2 years to catch up. Now, once again, cultural revolutionaries like Dr. Ivan Illich think that they are being far out when they propose de-schooling society, quote-unquote. But they are actually only about 2 years ahead of President Nixon. Dr. Illich thinks he is creating, quote, alternatives in education for the pre-industrial third world. But he is actually designing post-institutional forms of learning for the post-industrial world. The public school is vanishing with middle-class industrial society. Now the blacks want to take their children away from white teachers and tranquilizers. The suburban whites want to take their children away from inner-city blacks, and the intellectuals want to take their children out of institutional training. And since all this is going on in a media society that makes the old institutions redundant, the pseudo-environment of the school is being overwhelmed by the true environment. But it gets more interesting. Trust me. Stick around. I'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Before we jump off into tangents, let's just finish this article. So William Irwin Thompson's 1971 New York Times article, "We Become What We Hate," colliding things and people and ideas, indeed cultures and cultural aspects, you know, Huntington's Clash of Civilizations. Colliding those things together, perhaps a parenthetical aside, Huntington's Clash of Civilizations from the Wikipedia entry. Huntington believed that while the age of ideology had ended, the world had only reverted to a normal state of affairs characterized by cultural conflict. In his thesis, he argued that the primary axis of conflict in the future will be along cultural lines. And that's totally organic. It's just a spontaneous thing. It has nothing to do with, the woke nonsense or seeing these these groups that are sort of paraded in front of people. And if you watch the media, this is the focus far more than reality. You know, the Antifa discussion or whatever, Proud Boys or alt-right nonsense, all of it that I would say are just really creations from the same quarter that would seek to collide us together. You know, all of these deviations from reality, you know, whether it's the pronoun coup, the personal pronoun coup, or Black Lives Matter, which is just a reboot of the same old Marxist exploitation of certain people. It's all kind of the same thing. And the point is, none of it's organic. It's not a spontaneous organic uprising, just like color revolution never is. So color revolution is the order of the day. Clashes along cultural lines that are just below the state kinetic level, and we can create chaos, foment chaos everywhere, and then remake the world in our image, dear comrades. As an extension, he posits that the concept of different civilizations as the highest rank of cultural identity will become increasingly useful. No, it's victim psychopathy. The biggest victim in the intersectionality world is the supreme being. The highest rank of cultural identity will become increasingly useful in analyzing the potential for conflict. At the end of his 1993 Foreign Affairs article, The Clash of Civilizations? Question mark. In, I would say, patently suggestibilist sort of fashion, devilishly so, Huntington writes, "This is not to advocate the desirability of conflicts between civilizations. It is, of course not. I'm not saying we should be doing this, or I'm not advocating for this, but it is to set forth descriptive hypotheses as to what the future may be like." Right. Which reminds me of September 11, again, sort of everything does, I guess, these days. Larry sends me this post from Winter Watch titled September 11, 2001, Questions to Ask if you Still Believe the Official Narrative. This is a piece written actually in 2017 by Tony Cartolucci, Anthony Cartolucci, whom I respect and admire. Land Destroyer Report. September 11, 2001. Questions to ask if you still believe the official narrative. And so he does a very good job of giving distilled points. You know, we've come at this a variety of different ways. 10 years ago, James Corbett said, hey, if we haven't broken through the establishment narrative matrix at this point, you know, difficult to believe that we will. And so you come at this from different angles. 19 box cutters armed, or excuse me, 19, Saudi dissidents. Oh, wait a minute. Saudi dissidents. That's a point that I have made many times that Anthony Cartolucci makes in his article. If primarily Saudi hijackers with Saudi money and Saudi organization perpetrated the attacks of 9/11? Why has the United States waged war or threatened war with every nation in the Middle East except Saudi Arabia and its allies? That's question number three. And you could go further with that. You know, again, I'm not a fan of the United Nations anything, but even the UNHRC, the United Nations Human Rights Council, has openly declared that our dearest allies in the region, Saudi Arabia and Israel, are the worst human rights violators on the planet. Period. Full stop. So, you know, Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. What does it say about the company we keep? You know, these Shia regimes are, we're told that, you know, there's saber rattling. Anytime there's a Shia group in view, the saber rattling begins. And he, Cartellucci, includes to this point the 2012 DIA report that openly states if the situation unravels, there's the possibility of establishing a declared or undeclared Salafist principality. Oh, you mean what ISIS has been talking about? Where do they get this idea? You know, that they want to do these things. Well, PBS Frontline told us again. The inside the awkward U.S.-Saudi alliance against ISIS, but not really. You know, like PBS Frontline has told us for 20 years now, literally, from the beginning, all through the middle, and pretty much up to now. This video inside the awkward U.S.-Saudi alliance against ISIS in the Confronting ISIS Frontline series was published back in 2016, and it's 8 minutes long. They talk about how it's the, you know, when these ultra-conservative radical fundamentalist groups seek to train people on their ideology, they don't have to look far. They just look for, you know, the official state religious publications from Saudi Arabia. It's Wahhabism. And as they say, Salafism is Wahhabism on tour, out of country. So when a Saudi billionaire wants to give Yale $10 million for an Islamic studies program, I agree with Omar Aziz. I'm offended Saudi Arabia is funding Yale's Islamic studies program. It's Wahhabism studies. It's Salafism studies. So it's funny. That used to be up. I used to refer to the article over at the Clarion Project. Guess what? 404. Gone. The bad news. We also can't find the page you're looking for. Apologies. The good news. You can make sure all the right pages are sent direct to your inbox. That sounds like a contradiction in terms. Can't find the page you're looking for. I'm sorry, Dave. The page you're looking for does not exist. But you can make sure all the right pages are sent direct to your inbox. Isn't that fun? Just not the page you're looking for. So now that's a 404. Here's one of the latest things that's disappeared. I wrote that piece a while ago, speaking of all of this stuff, forced disappearance, speaking of being unpersoned. You know, that was a, this is a corollary, you know, again, the Orwellian concept that the history doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is the future. How long until that all disappears, you know? The New Yorker article by Masha Gessen, 2018, the photo book that captured how the Soviet regime made the truth disappear. So the book is called The Commissar Vanishes, the title incongruously literal. It's specific references to a photograph from 1919 of a second anniversary celebration of the October Revolution. In the picture, Vladimir Lenin stands at the top of a set of stairs surrounded by many unidentified men and children and a few recognizable men, including Leon Trotsky, stationed just in front of Lenin. By the time the photograph was published in 1967, Trotsky had disappeared. He had been airbrushed out, along with several other commissars. Speaking of this thing that Larry sent me, the Winter Watch reposting of Tony Cartolucci's article, September 11, 2001, questions to ask if you still believe the official narrative. This is posted today over at Winter Watch. On Winter Watch, they have the meme of the day. Speaking of this forced disappearance and manipulation of photos, you know, and articles like this New Yorker article, the photo book that captured how the Soviet regime made the truth disappear, there is this meme of the day. From this to this, pictures of Osama bin Laden, and you have to see the picture. I won't even describe it, but, you know, there's the picture and the question, like, you know, it's one of the game shows, like, which one is that? I can't think of which one it is. You know, the phone a friend one, use a lifeline thing. I want to say, what is it? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Regis Philbin. Anyway, so it has the question, who killed bin Laden? And the options are A, Justin Bieber, B, Photoshop, which is squared in red, as in, yes, it was Photoshop, C, paint, or D, Chuck Norris. In other words, it's that absurd. And, you know, it's astonishing. People don't know history. The New Yorker is not a conspiracy blog, and here is how it happened. The photo book that captured how the Soviet regime made the truth disappear. And you have folks studying the Soviet regime and how they did it. And, you know, that is sort of distilled and curated, that research, into books like The Manipulation of Human Behavior by Biderman and Zimmer. No, we weren't trying to do that. We were just understanding how it works so that we could, you know, teach the resistance to that at SEER schools and things like that, right? Except when you teach them how to do it, which we've, you know, since realized that's what was happening. And this all gets back to the beginning point. I need to get back to this New York Times article, We Become What We Hate. But, you know, just to sort of skip ahead for a moment, when we choose to do the wrong thing, when we know what the right thing is, we are surrendering ourselves to evil. And like Jefferson said, a departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, until you end up being the guy that Jordan Peterson is talking about in How a Totalitarian State is Actually Formed. You're the guy that Christopher Browning is writing about in Ordinary Men. You know, you're the guy that what's his name? The Crimes of SEAL Team 6 article. Matthew Cole. You're the guy that Matthew Cole wrote about. You know, that's circulating the greatest hits album. Those kinds of things. So it's these decisions, these choices that we make when we allow ourselves to be conscripted to evil. That's how it happens. In simple terms, that's why it's a slow process of degradation of faculties, of virtue, of morality. that happens at glacial speed over the course of generations, and again, if you allow yourself to go down this path, as I have mentioned again and again, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 12, The Socialist Roots of Nazism, if you follow these trains of thought, like he said, their system was developed with ruthless consistency. Once one accepts the premises from which it starts, there is no escape from its logic. That includes all of the, you know, that encompasses the entire scope of the scientific socialism, a.k.a. technocracy, a.k.a. scientific dictatorship, etc. You know, R2P, P2OG, all of these doctrinal precepts go into that point that Hayek is making there. So, we choose, ultimately, whether or not we are conscripted to evil. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Fish in the sea. Welcome back. You know how I feel. That's perfect. So, I've mentioned it before, but Matthew Cole's article is a perfect, perfectly sort of interspersed here in the discussion of becoming what we hate. The little explainer at the top of the article, the Intercept article, The Crimes of SEAL Team 6, reads, officially known as the Naval Special Warfare Development Group, SEAL Team 6 is today the most celebrated of the U.S. military special mission units, but hidden behind the heroic narratives is a darker, more troubling story of revenge ops, quote-unquote, unjustified killings, mutilations, and other atrocities, a pattern of criminal violence that emerged soon after the Afghan war began and was tolerated and covered up by the command's leadership. So there are so many directions that we could go with this. You know, with regard to Afghanistan, you know, it's the Afghan trap, as Brzezinski pointed out. Why have we allowed ourselves to be caught in the Afghan trap? we've been there longer than all other major conflicts combined. That's a strange thing. You know, the Taliban's evil, even though they tried to surrender to the Pentagon, the Pentagram, several times, you know, tried to surrender more than once, and DOD said, no thanks, timing is everything, not now. So the Taliban's evil, but speaking of Afghanistan, before the before the invasion of Afghanistan. And by the way, what exactly did Afghanistan have to do with? Well, you know, they were harboring terrorists, right? But only those that the CIA was funding, equipping, and training. So, you know, and partners, of course. So the Taliban is evil, except before the Afghan invasion, the Taliban had brought opium production to a near halt in Afghanistan, single-handedly. And then, what do you know, after the invasion, production skyrockets 3,000 to 4,000%. What do you know? And then there's those 19 hijackers armed with box cutters, which is a different story, but J. Michael Springman reminds us that, you know, it was the Saudi's Jeddah consulate, you know, which is the CIA's visas for terrorist program or consulate, where they got their visas. So, I mean, the questions, just simple little questions of things that don't add up, as Tony Cartolucci points out in his 2017 article. Just some simple questions. I think he only asked three in his piece. They're provocative questions, though. If we had any sense, we'd be asking a lot more questions and demanding answers. Accurate, true, honest answers. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You can't
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you